Hello and welcome to The Co-working Club, a podcast for female business owners who want to work for themselves, not by themselves. I'm your host, Jessica Berry, and each week I'll be chatting to a new guest all about the realities of running your own business, sharing tips and tricks for dealing with the loneliness and isolation that comes with working from home, as well as discussing the benefits of building community through co-working. So what are you waiting for? Come and join the club. Hello, and welcome back to this week's episode of The Co-working Club. I'm so excited to have you join me for our very first guest interview of 2022. If you find yourself picking up your phone without knowing exactly why, or regularly falling into a scroll hole on Instagram and losing hours of your day, then this conversation is for you. Today I'm chatting to the lovely Caroline from Caroline Inspired, who is a yoga teacher based here in Nottingham who helps souls surf the waves of life through a yoga-inspired lifestyle. Through implementing strict boundaries and taking a more intentional approach, Caroline has been able to create a healthier relationship with social media, and she's really passionate about educating others to do the same. It's something that we often find ourselves chatting about over on Instagram, which, yes, I know is a little bit ironic, but we feel very similar when it comes to approaching social media as business owners. So I really wanted to get her onto the podcast to chat about it in front of all of you guys. So in today's episode, I chat to Caroline all about how to take back control when it comes to utilizing social media and how to use the apps more mindfully. Why viewing social media as an energy exchange is such a powerful mindset switch. How to take time away from social media without feeling guilty about it. As well as some of the boundaries to help you manage how much time you spend on social media and, more importantly, stick to them. I absolutely loved getting to chat to Caroline all about this topic, which feels extremely relevant, at least for me anyway, right now, as this is a big focus for me this year. And hopefully if you're ready to create some healthier habits with social media in 2022, then this conversation is a great starting point for you to begin taking action. This was actually my first guest interview in person for a really long time, so the audio isn't quite perfect. You might be able to hear that the microphone was rocking around a little bit on the table, so apologies about that. And you will also hear Caroline's cute little dog, Bert, who is trotting around throughout the episode, so I hope that's not too distracting. But without further ado, here is our conversation. Hi, Caroline. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So do you want to start by telling us a little bit about yourself, your career history so far, and the background behind your business, just in case anyone doesn't know who you are?
So I'm Caroline of Caroline Inspired, and I am a yoga teacher. I have a studio based in Hucknall in Nottingham, and I also have an online membership as well where I teach yoga. Previously to becoming a yoga teacher, which is about 4 years ago now, I used to be a school teacher. So I basically swapped the school classroom for a yoga studio instead. I used to be really passionate about teaching, loved teaching children, and that never went, but I just was very much in a job that wasn't in alignment with me anymore. And yoga came into my life at a time when I did feel incredibly lost. And that helped me then transition out of that career into the career that I'm doing now.
Amazing. Yeah, that seems quite seamless. Were you training on the side? Did you start doing classes? Like, how did you build things up?
So I quit my job finishing the summer. And then that October, I went off to Indonesia to do my yoga teacher training. So it was very much like a quick swap. Mm. And so completely finished my job. Went to go and do my training, and in that transition, that's when I was working. I did, well, kind of three jobs at one point whilst I was doing my training. And then when I came back from Indonesia, that's when I just went straight into creating Caroline Inspired. started building up classes, hiring out a space at a local gym. And that was when I was still working supply in a school and also working in a pub. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was fully qualified as a yoga teacher at that point. Mm-hmm. Then just took my time building it all up from there.
Amazing. At what point did you get your studio?
Sorry, that's Bert walking around. I hear Bert, my pug, walking around. So I got my studio a year after. So it was January 2019. So I'd started Caroline Inspired in the January 2018 and spent a year building up classes, hiring out this space, and then literally the studio is next door to where I was hiring out. Mm. So it was a year. Had then the studio, I've had the studio since, but then obviously I had to close due to COVID. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of, it was open for a year and then it was closed for a year and then it was like back open again.
Yeah, and now it's back open.
And
it's,
now it's back open.
Yeah, it looks like such a lovely little studio. I'd love to come and visit one day.
Oh, thank you. I'd love to have you there.
So something that you talk about quite a lot, which I always find myself resonating with, is our relationship with social media as business owners. And that's kind of what we're going to focus on and chat about today. So do you want to share a little bit more about your experience with social media so far and kind of where you feel like you're at with it today?
Okay, yes, that's a really good question. And it's something that I reflect on quite a lot. And I've kind of always come back to reminding myself that social media is a part of my business. It is not solely my business. Mm-hmm. Instagram is my main platform that I use, and it's this incredible platform for connection. And in order to keep that incredible connection, we need to keep boundaries and have barriers in place around using it so it stays a way that we can connect with people. I've found that there's times like when I've maybe been overusing it or putting far too much energy on it, then other parts of my business have suffered for it. Mm-hmm. So it is a big part of what I do within my business, but it's not the sole part. And I just have to remind myself of that.
Yeah, I think it's so easy to get wrapped up in that. And I think I've had moments as well where I've spent so much time focused on social media where I've had to remind myself. And especially because prior to running the co-working club, I was a social media manager. You know, I've had to remind myself, actually, this isn't what you should be spending all of your time on. It's a supporting element of the business. It's an amazing way to market your business, but it shouldn't be where all of your time and energy is spent.
No, absolutely. And I think that's where, if we're not careful, that's what can happen, is our energy then gets focused on social media, not always, and in the healthiest way. We can get very caught up on then things like numbers or just spending too long creating content for social media, when actually we don't realize that our actual business is suffering because we're not putting the energy into that. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of just been a space where I've been like navigating things, putting things into place to just try and create then a better relationship with it for my business. Mm-hmm. I personally don't have any social media on like a personal level or a personal account. And mm-hmm. Caroline Inspired is very much a huge part of who I am anyway.
Yeah.
Like yoga is a huge part of who I am. So I don't really know if I had a personal account, how different it would maybe look. But I never had social media. I didn't use social media before that. Mm-hmm. I kind of had like Facebook dipped in and out of it, kind of growing up. I was like 18 when Facebook came out, I think. Show my age of it. But yeah, I started off with Instagram with a personal account for a little bit and then went straight into just having it as my business one. Because I think we have to be so careful that we don't end up spending all our time online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. And we were just chatting before we started recording actually about how you've been sharing more content on YouTube and how it might not have the same, or feel like it has the same impact in terms of people engaging with it. Mm-hmm. But actually you're choosing to do that because you enjoy it, or you want to document your life, or you want to get involved in a platform that isn't, I don't know, so competitive or doesn't have that comparison element that Instagram has. And sometimes we might just choose to do those things just because we enjoy it.
Absolutely. And we're just saying, weren't we, like thinking that like, who's actually watching like our YouTube channels and things, but I just enjoy creating my vlogs and things. And I feel like with Instagram, everything's so fast paced on there, you know, stories don't last very long. So I do like to talk and I feel like it just cuts me off all the time and ruins my flow. And also if you go on Instagram to say create a story to connect and speak to people or share your message, you then get so distracted by notifications popping up or thinking, well, then I need to reply to people. And in that moment, you might not have the time, but then you get then stuck into then that part of the part of Instagram. Whereas I feel if I'm creating then stuff for YouTube, I haven't got anyone like cutting me off. I can talk for as long as I want to, or if I want to share something. And actually, I feel like, I'd say like being more mindful, because obviously you still, it's still social media. So I'm kind of, you're not very much in that present moment the same. But when I'm creating the stuff for a vlog, I am kind of in that present moment and just then doing the video and documenting things and then just put it to one side. And then I'll put it all together, obviously, at the end to then create the video and to create that content. So I just feel like that platform just then suits me better in that aspect of things. I love watching vlogs, and I feel like you can connect with someone. You get to know them on that deeper level. And I think, again, that's why, going back to why then I like using Instagram, is for that connection.
Yeah.
And then other platforms can offer then maybe like that deeper connection.
Yeah, that's so true. And I'm so mindful. I feel like when I'm uploading to Instagram stories, you know, when you see the little dots really like stacking up and you're thinking, oh my goodness, I'm just trying to, you know, get all my thoughts out, but actually this is turning into like a mammoth upload, and when you've posted them, you can see the views go down and down and down as people get bored whilst you're talking. Whereas I guess with YouTube, people who go over there to watch your videos, they really are interested in kind of what you have to say and getting an insight into your life, so there's not that same pressure, I guess, to perform and keep people engaged.
Absolutely. I think if I watch, say, if I go on YouTube and watch a vlog myself, I'll usually then make a cup of tea and I sit down, snuggle up with Bert, and then we'll watch a vlog. It's like, that's an intentional thing that I'm doing. Whereas if you think social media, Instagram, it will be because we've got, I don't know, a spare few moments, pick up our phones. We haven't got time in that moment to then actually fully engage and listen and be present to what people have to say. So it's about creating then, like we just said with YouTube, if we're watching, saying a longer video, we dedicate that time to watch it. But I think it's very much just trying to be mindful of, if we think of sometimes as Instagram is very much like quite fast paced, I'm like, I don't necessarily want to contribute to that faster living. I'm more about that slower living and living life at a slower pace.
Yeah. And it directly feeds into your business, what you do, and, you know, what your values are. So I guess that is something to really be mindful when you're thinking about how you engage and interact with that, thinking about whether it really kind of links into who you are and what you're all about. So you spoke in a recent post about deciding how social media features in your life and how that is a very much a conscious decision, as we just touched on. And I'm sure many business owners see it as something that they simply have to do, you know, something that the business needs them to do. But how would you advise that they take back that element of control when it comes to social media?
I think one of the most powerful things we can do is reflection. And it's a big part of yoga, the practice of self-study and this power of reflection, of noticing and reflecting maybe where we are spending our time and our energy. We don't have endless amounts of energy, and obviously we only have, so, you know, our time, we can't get more time. It's like, how are we using our time? So the biggest thing I think is checking in and being truthful and putting our hands up to be like, do you know what, actually, I'm going to look at my screen time or see how I'm using the app. And actually, if we're really honest with ourselves, that when we're not in a good headspace, we're in a good relationship with social media, it's because we're spending far too much time on it. We're not productive with that time. We're not using it intentionally. And then obviously that affects then our mental health. And then if our mental health is affected, then everything, every other part of our life suffers as well. So I think the first thing is to then identify what we are doing, checking in, and then we can start to then take that action. And then we can put things like boundaries in place to protect our energy. And like we mentioned earlier, so that we are actually spending the right energy then creating and focusing on our business and using social media intentionally. So for me, I have then, it's like non-negotiables, that not to go on my phone until after I've done my morning routine and I'm sat down ready to begin working, and trying to go every time I open the app, and I say the word trying, because it's very many times like I will slip up, of when I open it up, it's like I'm going on intentionally to reply to my DMs, to read through my comments or to post, not just going on and then getting in a scroll hole, because then that's not a, it's not a, the best use of our time and our energy. I also like to think of it as an energy exchange, and it's this place of connection. And if somebody's taken the time to write you a DM or to respond to your post or to your story, giving them your energy and being fully present with them. So we can use the app mindfully and be in that present moment and, you know, listen and read what they've got to say and reply properly. So I think it's how we use it. And yeah. Remembering that we have control over it. That app does not control us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is key, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure so many people can relate to that feeling of, you know, being on the app and then thinking, wait a minute, I came on here to do something, totally forgotten what that is. Yeah. And now I've lost 10 minutes scrolling.
Exactly. And that's, I think, as well, with YouTube, you don't scroll the same, do you? Or you might go on to find something intentionally, or someone's maybe shared something to watch this video. Can't scroll the same as you can on Instagram, which is why we have to check ourselves that there is that potential that we're going to scroll hole, but we get to say whether we scroll hole or not.
Yeah.
And also just catching that we're doing it. There's been times I've gone on with intention to, I don't know, find something, and then I've not gone and done that. I've got straight into a scroll hole, and I'm like 15 minutes later, I'm like, oh yeah, forgot what I was doing.
Yeah.
Just again, checking ourselves. Being kind and compassionate, it's designed to be addictive, but reflect, take action on it.
Yeah, exactly. That is so true, isn't it? You know, it's been compared to gambling, you know, on the slot machine type things, because you're constantly looking for that rush of endorphins when you see something that you like the look of or engage with, and that's, you know, how it works. So just being aware of that and you know, aware that that's what the aim is, and trying to say no to that. But I know a lot of people are kind of resistant to maybe looking at the screen time. It's kind of a similar thing to checking your bank balance if you're worried about money, isn't it? It's that awareness, like once you're aware, you kind of have to do something to action it. But there is so much power in knowledge, isn't there? And if you truly want to change the way that you interact with the app and social media in general, then that knowledge really is the crucial part, isn't it?
Absolutely. That we can meet ourselves where we are, and then we can take that action. Like I said, we can't take the necessary action if we don't fully meet ourselves where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And a big part of yoga is about being compassionate and kind towards ourselves, being truthful as well. But we can't, like I say, can't take the next steps in that action if we don't know really the true extent to what we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it is scary, but I think just not thinking you're alone in it, because you're not. There's so many people whose screen time or social media time will be really high. Mm-hmm. Instead be like, wow, okay, that's interesting, it was way more than I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can check ourselves more. But it's not an attack on ourselves. It doesn't mean to say we're a bad person or a failure as a person. But just remember, we're the ones that it's our responsibility. But with that responsibility is a powerful thing that we get to say then, okay, I am no longer spending that much time.
Mm-hmm.
And make some change now, because I don't want to see that screen report like that again.
Yeah, exactly. It's not beating yourself up, but it's just seeing where you can improve if you want to improve moving forward.
Absolutely.
So I know that a lot of business owners that I chat to can often feel worried about taking time away from social media because they think people might forget about them or are less likely to buy from them if they're not kind of promoting what they have to offer. Do you ever struggle with that pressure to show up online and be present? And what do you do to quieten that voice in your head?
So it's something definitely that I've journeyed through. Mm-hmm. I've had my Caroline Inspired account now for it'd be about 4.5 years now, I think, because I started documenting things before I went on my teacher training. When I'm sharing these things, this is the point that I'm at now in my journey. So it's not like I've only just started, you know, 6 months ago. So that when I kind of say these things, this is kind of like where I'm at now. I have definitely felt pressure before to show up all the time. And obviously sometimes thinking if I'm not there, you know, my business is going to suffer because I'm not there. But say if you were going into an office job and like 9 to 5 when you work and you have time off at Christmas, you would not be there working, would you? That business does not collapse. It doesn't close just because then not been there. And I think in terms of for our business to be a success, we have to take care of ourselves. Like especially if we are at the center of what we do, which like many of the co-working club members are, aren't they?
Yeah.
And if you don't look after yourself, there isn't going to be a business. So it's about then reframing how we see it and seeing it as an essential thing to take care of yourself. And then by taking care of yourself, then your business will thrive and will grow. I think there is that pressure then of like, if I'm not obviously then taking any time off, but I think it's just kind of reframing how we see it and actually seeing it as a priority and it's something that's needed. If you're starting to run on empty, you're not going to be as creative. You're not going to feel as inspired. So if we're thinking about social media, your content's not going to be top form because you're not feeling on top form. So isn't it better than just to take some time off, recharge, live life, get inspired, feel more creative, and then you're going to be creating better content anyway. You're going to be in a better headspace to connect with people, to grow your social media as well in a healthy, organic way, which you have not suffered for with your mental health. I actually find when I have had time off social media, I'll come back and it's so lovely then to then, you know, catch up with what people have been doing, or like I have my followers that that will message and stuff saying like, oh, I've missed you in your face and things. How lovely is that? And but that wouldn't come without having that time off. And I also think it's got to reflect what you're doing as your business. Like, I'm a yoga teacher. I'm all about then being more mindful about living through this practice of yoga. Social media doesn't really have then that place in the practice of yoga. We're talking about something thousands and thousands of years old. If I'm then helping people to be more mindful and more present and to take care of themselves through the powers of soul care, through the power of yoga, and take care of the mental health and put boundaries and barriers in place, I'm not really doing that if I'm not practicing it myself. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think the first time I did have some time off social media, it was frightening.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh gosh, like is it just going to all collapse? And it doesn't at all. It doesn't. Yeah. But it's just sitting with those feelings that come up around it. But it is something that is so, so essential. If you're thinking that having, say, 2 full weeks off or a week off is too much, then just start with having a day off or a weekend off. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be go from nothing to a huge amount of time off.
Yeah, exactly. It does just take that one time of really stepping away for you to realize that the world doesn't stop turning just because you're not showing up on social media every day, and your business isn't going to crumble and it will still be there when you get back. And like you mentioned, you're giving people a chance to miss you. You know, if you're showing up every single day, then people get used to that. They get used to seeing your face and, you know, it's expected. But if you step away for a few days, actually people might miss seeing you and will really be much more engaged when you do come back online.
I started off just having Sundays off, but then it started to be then Saturday afternoons, and then sometimes is after I finish teaching my class on a Saturday morning, just because if anybody needs to message me before a class or after. So it's normally around that time. But then there has been times when I'm feeling very low in energy and I will just come off social media that bit earlier. I think just having that very clear, if I'm coming off social media, say on the Friday, it takes that pressure off myself to think I've got to reply to DMs and comments when I haven't got the time to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm really busy with actual work.
Yeah.
So by it then just massively takes that pressure off myself that I'm like, I don't need to check in with DMs and comments because I'm going to be back online on Monday. Mm-hmm. So that already just alleviates that pressure that we place on ourselves. Like I said, we don't have endless amounts of energy. And so what energy we do have, we've got to think. For me, that time when I'm coming off earlier on that Friday, I'd still got 2 classes to teach at the studio. I'd got some filming to do. I'd got my online members to check in with. So that's where my energy should be going. Mm-hmm. And then the social media comes after.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think some of that worry maybe about stepping back from social media, you know, it could be seen as a bit of scarcity mindset, you know, showing up equals you being successful in business or equals driving sales. You know, it's different however your business works, but it's thinking about, are you maybe placing too much emphasis on Instagram as a platform as well? Do you need to look at building your business in other areas, you know, building an email list or working on your SEO so people can discover you that way? Like, maybe are you placing too much emphasis on Instagram being your only source of business?
Yes, absolutely. And yeah, looking at those different areas as well. And I think we need to check in if it is causing a lot of overwhelm and anxiety, that needs addressing. It needs to do that work around those feelings. Like, no, don't ignore them. They're absolutely valid. But again, that's letting the app control you. Mm-hmm. And if you think we're very much at the heart of what we do as our business, it's so important to have that separation from it, that you are not your business 24/7. You are yourself as well as a person. And I just think having that time off, we always feel more creative and inspired. And actually that anxiety will go because you're not on it all the time. Mm-hmm. It is very hard. And like I say, that's why I'd advise just starting off small. Mm-hmm. And also just seeing it as how it's an energy exchange as well. So every time you're going on, you are giving away your energy, and that's sacred, and that's should be protected. We need to be mindful about where that energy is going.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're being consumed by this pressure of being on the app, then that is just a waste of your energy. It could be going on other things.
Yeah, that's so true. So we've touched on a couple already, but what are some of the other boundaries that you've put in place when it comes to social media?
So the biggest one, as I've mentioned already, is not going on it until I have done my morning routine.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously very easy to, if we have our phones as like alarms and things, to have them by our bed and we pick them up and then we can go straight into that scroll hole.
Mm-hmm.
So don't go on social media until after I've done my morning routine,
mm-hmm.
which is usually like around about 9 o'clock, depends what kind of time I sit down and ready to do work and things. Seeing it as work. That's, I think, because otherwise it kind of then creeps into every, you know, all day, mm-hmm. doesn't it? Into our life. So having that boundary there and then not going on my phone until then, trying to check in the 3 times in a day. So morning, sit down, and like I said, showing up, replying to people properly with the right energy. Again, midday,
mm-hmm.
and then later on in the day. Loosely, I'll keep to these, but trying to pick up my phone with intention. Obviously, there's times when I don't, we'll fall out of that, but that's what I try mm-hmm. to do. I will also have trying to only share and post when I have got something that I think is going to add to people's lives, not just falling under that whole thing of doing it for the sake of doing it or just mm-hmm. posting for the sake of posting. I think that really comes across as not being authentic as well. And you just place some pressure on yourself and you'll struggle to create and feel inspired. So obviously there's times like if I'm doing something, I'm like, oh, I really want to like talk and share about that and help people. Then I will obviously go on at different times.
Mm-hmm.
Because I teach at my studio as well, mainly, so there's lots of evening classes. This is where I really have to, a boundary that I work on that is probably one that's come, probably one of my latest boundaries, is because I'll leave my house, say, if I'm teaching on a Monday, my first class is at 4:30. So I'll try and do all the checking in before I leave the house, because I get to the studio, teach my class, so it's 4:30 to 5:30, and then I teach 6 to 7, and mm-hmm. then finish at 7, and I'm into the evening. Now, normally, if I was at home, I would not be on my phone at that time, so I have to make sure I do all the replying before I leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
So on that day, it's normally about 3:30. I've done my last check in, and then I'll reply to everyone the next day.
Mm-hmm.
I'll always reply to everybody within 24 hours, always. Again, saying that's when I'll reply. It's on my timeline, not mm-hmm. just, you know, when people don't even notice anyway. People aren't even that bothered.
No.
But yeah, in the evening, if I'm at home, it's kind of like, right, okay, I'm going to put my phone away now. Mm-hmm. Don't know I'm replying. And then it goes away and then don't go on it. So in the evenings, when I step back into the house, I don't go on social media. And then if I'm at home in the evenings, then that's when it's very easy to creep into the evening.
Yeah.
So it has to be, I have finished work, just like you'd put your laptop away, putting your phone away.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something like a boundary there. And then yeah. I don't go on it until the next day. I don't have any notifications come through either.
Mm-hmm.
I have to open the app to see them, because I think if you see them, even like a, you know, the red dot or a message that comes through, that's going to start your brain thinking. You're mm-hmm. in work mode still. I think, and like we said, if we see it as a business tool, and even if Instagram is sold is your business, like you said when you were social media manager, you wouldn't be on it all the time. So if you are on your phone from the minute you wake up to before you go to bed, think how many hours that is a day.
Yeah.
So I think having those boundaries either side of the day is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where like looking at your screen time actually comes in as well, because yes, it might be alarming. Yes, it might not be what you want to see. But actually, when you see it just written down, how many hours you're using, it makes you realize, okay, some of those hours, yes, I was being productive. I was doing things that needed to get done. But some, I was just scrolling, wasting time. What other things could I do in those hours that are going to better serve me, you know, that I'm going to find more enjoyable throughout the day, that are going to make me feel good? Like, there are other things that we can put our time and energy into.
Absolutely. I think this is when we often will say, I don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
But if we actually checked those things, and again, this is that difficult reflection checking in, we will see how much time we are then using on those things. this is when we need to see the difference between if we're sat down and on our phones, we sometimes think we're resting, but we're not. Your mind is still going. Mm-hmm. Think of how much information you are giving yourself by just being on your phone. That's not productive time. That's mm-hmm. not you engaging with your audience or checking in with people or your customers. That is just, it is a waste of time mm-hmm. when you could be doing something else. I find as well, like, I have to have boundaries around if I'm watching TV and my phone is there, very easily I've got into a habit, like, I pick up my phone just on my phone and watching TV. And I can't even watch TV anymore to be focused.
Yeah, that's not enough. One yeah. source of...
So even on a, say, like, when I'm not on social media on a Sunday or, like, on late Saturday afternoon as well, even putting my phone out of where we watch TV, because... I will still be picking up my phone and I'm not going on, I don't know, I'll start trying to check emails or checking something else, because it's that habit that we've got into yeah. of picking up our phones and going on something. So it's even got to a point now I'm like, I'm going to try and watch TV mindfully, mm-hmm. which is just crazy. But
yeah, I do the exact same thing. So like once I finish work for the day, I'll, you know, shut my laptop and I'll try and leave my phone in my office. So it's just not in my line of sight. I mean, it's an absolute nightmare for like friends, family who want to get in touch with me, because they just know that I'm just not on my phone in the evenings. But that's yeah. just the way it is, you know. Yeah. We spend so long on there as part of our work mm-hmm. that when it comes to relaxation time and time for myself, I just don't want it in my line of sight, or I will be tempted, like you said, to just keep mm-hmm. picking it up for no reason.
Yeah, absolutely. When I finish teaching at studio, it's not just then Instagram I don't reply to, it's emails as well, and also WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm.
Because that still is a big one as well, isn't it? We're still on our phones, we're still giving out our energy, and especially if, you know, that's what we need to be careful of as well. And it's, again, sitting down and replying to people properly. Mm-hmm. Often, like, I'll listen to a voice note when I'm, say, on the go somewhere, I can't reply to someone then, so then I'll do it later. But then I forgot what they've said, so I'll listen back to the voice note. So then again, can you see that waste of time? Mm-hmm. Whereas it's like, now I can listen to that voice note, now I can reply properly.
Yeah.
If you think years ago, before phones and social media existed, we would have been at work with set hours and you would have, you know, written letters, wouldn't you, say, before emails or something.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine how if somebody knocked on our door to tell us something, or you would have been like, well, what are you doing? But people have access to you 24/7. Doesn't mean to say you need to be available 24/7.
Yeah, that's so true. And it is setting that precedence. Mm-hmm. Like, we have become so quick to reply to mm-hmm. things that 24, 48 hours feels like a long time. But, you know, it's because people have got into the habit of responding to things so quickly. So by, you know, you having set times that you check things and reply mm-hmm. to things, it kind of just shows people that there is a different way to do it. We don't have to feed into this way.
So in my DMs, I like to have them all read. Every day I'll make sure they're all read. But obviously then when I put my phone away, then there will be messages coming through, but it'll be tomorrow that I check them. So I'll always make sure everyone's replied to. Even like, say, like with messages and WhatsApp, it's important that I do say, you know, communicate with people and connect with people. I'm not one that will leave it ages to reply to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But then that being said, it's also the right people respect that messaging you is access to your energy as well. And I think it's, again, find the right people. I've had people message me, I've not responded. Say if they've messaged me, it could be 7 o'clock at night. I'm not going to reply until the next day.
Mm-hmm.
I've had messages after with question marks. Are you there? I'm like, wow, that's rude on mm-hmm. their part. They're not my person. They're not my people.
No.
And I'm okay with that now. One time I'd be like, oh my gosh, they're going to be mad with me. Like, mm-hmm. I should have replied to them straight away. But I'm like, no, like, I'm not. Then, like, that quality living time, replying to somebody, well, I wouldn't know that they've messaged anyway because I don't have the notifications on. But do you see what I mean? It's them, yeah. That's their behaviour. I don't need to behave in that way.
Yeah, exactly. You're not at other people's beck and call. And especially, you know, especially if it's answering a question or, you know, providing them with some advice or knowledge or, you know, something like that. It is that mindful element of they are accessing you and your kind of time and energy, and it's a benefit to them. So waiting until it works with your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I know you spoke about how everything, you know, has been a journey that you've been working on over the past few years, but do you ever struggle to be strict with your boundaries? A lot of business owners I speak to say that, you know, they love the work so much that it doesn't feel like work, and, you know, they struggle to switch off because of that. But yeah, I wonder whether you still kind of find that tricky as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I even caught myself out on Monday doing it, because I'd came back from Tenerife on the Friday, knew I needed to have some time off because it'd been nonstop. I'd been in London working, then to Tenerife. all wonderful things, mm-hmm. but I've started to see that I'm still giving out my energy. Even doing what I love, I've still given out a lot. And then at that point, I was feeling on my reserves. So I know I needed that time off. So I came off social media for that weekend. I just took some time just to live, to be, to recharge. On Monday, I then came back on social media late. I think it was like, I think I posted Monday morning. But I wasn't at the studio teaching. I'd had Monday off work as well. I then was on Instagram. I wanted to just share, and I went on with intention. And then part of my mind was like, oh, I could like help people by talking about this. And then went to do it. It's like, that's work. And as you said on my stories, I like caught myself out and I was like, you know, it will wait till tomorrow. So mm-hmm. I'm constantly checking myself out, but I don't attack myself when I do it. I'm human. Like, I'm going to make mistakes and slip mm-hmm. up. So along this journey, that's still going to happen. But it's just, like I say, that awareness and reflecting and checking ourselves out. And then I was like, no, I'm putting my phone down now.
Yeah.
And coming off it. Because at the end of the day, I'm starting to see more recently, that social media is part of work. Mm-hmm. Part, but it's work.
Yeah. It is, yeah.
So, yeah, I absolutely do still slip up, but I take responsibility if it's my actions, and then I'll take action to make sure it doesn't happen again for a while. Obviously, it will then happen again. Mm-hmm. So I do slip up on the journey.
Yeah, I saw those Instagram stories, actually, and I liked how you addressed it. Like, you could have just, you know, not shared the thing, or you could have, you know, just not acknowledged it. Mm. But the fact that you said, you know, actually, wait a minute, I'm talking about work and I shouldn't be, I'll share what I was going to share tomorrow instead. Yeah. Like, because that, again, it's setting that precedence with people, you know, that you have not only set these clear boundaries for yourself, but you're also communicating them with your audience as well, mm-hmm. so that they're aware of the boundaries that you have.
Absolutely. And I think, and actually nobody knew what I was going to talk about. And mm-hmm. I did save it till Tuesday. No one was like, oh, I wish I'd heard that last night.
Yeah.
Did they? At all. So again, it's that, it's this unnecessary pressure that we place on ourselves that doesn't actually benefit anyone. The pressure that we think we should be doing something, no one knows. Mm-hmm. No one actually really then will care, thinking, wish I would have heard that on Monday night instead of Tuesday morning. When we say it like that, we're like, oh gosh, yeah. But to me then, just sharing that and checking myself out, like you said, like hearing that, and people then don't feel so alone. And if I can help people, then that's like my intention of what I do. Mm-hmm. So I will always share, like, when I make mistakes and my failures, or, you know, not seeing failures as a bad thing. I'm not a failure as a person. I've just then failed at doing something.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll always share that, share my journey, because that's exactly what it is. It's a journey.
Yeah, exactly. And seeing someone else, you know, that people look up to or aspire to, setting these boundaries for themselves, you know, it gives other people permission to do the same in their lives, because they can see what you're doing and the benefits that it has, which is amazing. So I know something that you believe is that time and energy are your two most precious resources, and we've touched on that quite a lot today. But do you have any advice around what business owners can do to protect that time and energy?
I think, again, mentioning back to, like I said earlier, is this awareness is key. So in order for us to protect something, we need to check in with where we are giving it out. I always think it's like taking time to check in with how we feel is always like a good way that we can meet ourselves here in this moment with our energy levels, those emotions that come up around something. And then we can start to explore, like, why am I feeling that way? Mm-hmm. So if we're maybe feeling really overwhelmed right now, okay, you feel it. Acknowledge it, and then look at why you're feeling overwhelmed. And then if we actually look at then exploring our energy and our time, we can then start to identify those things that are taking up it. So that might be, for example, that you're spending a lot of time on social media, you've not got very good boundaries around that. So that's what you need to address. So then you don't feel so overwhelmed. And that's you taking that action and that responsibility for it. No one can do it for you. And it's okay to do this work. It's not a criticism of ourselves. So I'd say that, yeah, the biggest one is checking in, and that reflection. We have to be slow and relaxed to do the work of reflecting on where our time and energy is going. We can't do it when we're in a heightened state, when we're stressed, but it's so important to have those regular check-ins. So on a Sunday, I always use like the calm energy of a Sunday to reflect and check in. And I will honestly reflect on the week that's gone by and be like, okay, my boundaries, you know, I didn't put my boundaries in place then. Why? Why didn't I? What had happened?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do then next week? So regularly checking in rather than just doing it at a point when we have then some time off,
yes.
Which actually, when you think of when we own our own businesses, we don't have a lot of time off at all. how many weeks do people normally have off?
Is it something like 5, maybe?
Yeah,
something
there's no
like
way that.
That
we have that much time off. And even when we're not actively working, our minds are still thinking yeah. about it. Which is why it's crucial and essential to have those barriers and boundaries and to do soul care work and to protect yourself, to protect your energy and your time mm-hmm. and seeing it as your most precious resources. And then you can start to be like, okay, I get to see, say who has access to it when it is available. It all comes from you. No one can do that for you. So I'd say, yeah, just taking that time to slow down, check in how you're feeling, what can you put in place and what's manageable to put in place, what's realistic and what suits you best. For me, I'm more of a morning person. So actually in the evenings, I'm not that focused anyway. So I wouldn't, if I was replying to somebody, it's not going to be a good reply because I'm starting to run yeah. tired and stuff because it's the evening. Whereas someone might be more, they like the evening time to do things like that, but then have better boundaries in the morning. Mm-hmm. So you don't go on it. So it's very personal. And I think, you know, people can offer advice, but it's exactly that. It's advice, but do what works then best for you. It's not recreating somebody else's boundaries and barriers, if that mm-hmm. makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you mentioned before that it's, you know, taking it a step at a time and not thinking you have to overhaul, you know, your entire week or your entire routine. It's thinking about one area maybe you could focus on improving mm-hmm. and yeah, take it one step at a time.
I think as well that we have to see, so if we're basically creating new habits mm-hmm. and you think how much a habit takes 10,000 repetitions to create a habit. So this mm-hmm. whole, I think, 30 days to create a new habit, I don't quite believe in.
No.
So if you then try and create lots and lots of habits around your boundaries and access to like time and energy, do too much, it's going to be overwhelming. You're giving your mind so much to do. So it's like starting mm-hmm. off small, more manageable steps. When that's in place, then you work on adding more. Yeah. And that's when I said, like being on a journey, there's things that I've had that are really strong, solid habits now, and then I'll work on the next thing
mm-hmm.
and then the next thing.
Exactly. Mm. And this is why it takes so long, because to get to that point where you do have those solid habits and boundaries, it takes tackling them one step at a time, because you don't want to get overwhelmed and go back to square one.
I think as well, when you first start doing what you do, and obviously when you very much love what you do, and it is, you know, you're so passionate, you're so excited by it, you're so motivated and inspired to keep creating all the time, you have to then, everyone has to, on their own journey, recognize, oh, wow, this has took over my life. People can advise you on that, but I think people have to find that themselves.
I think it usually happens that way, doesn't it? That you get to that point, maybe a year or so into mm-hmm. business, and you think, wait a minute, I don't have any life outside of business. And especially if you've started, you know, doing it as a side hustle mm-hmm. or a hobby on the side, you know, and that turns into work, mm-hmm. it's really hard to see where the work-life boundaries lie, because you know, you think essentially you're doing something, you're doing your hobby for work, but then what are your hobbies now? You know, it's replacing that with other activities that you enjoy and make you feel good. And yeah, it can be really difficult to draw that line.
And I think coming back to your why you started doing it in the first place, and I've seen so many yoga teachers, they'll be there, you know, trying to get people to come to their classes or, you know, online in person. And they are putting that much energy into their business that they're not even practicing themselves. So I'm a bit like, well, how can you even, you know, you're trying not practicing what you preach if then you've completely lost your own practice, which a lot of yoga teachers do. And it happened to me when I first started. You're that busy then for a yoga teacher, you're then teaching the yoga that you forgot that you fell in love with the practice yourself.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important to not lose yourself in it and to have those clear boundaries. So, you know, yoga is a huge part of my professional life and also part of my personal life. They're two separate things, which is why as well I have like the barriers around, like, I won't share my own yoga practice because I do that in the morning. So I don't want to then, you know, record it, mm-hmm. you know, put it on a reel on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's about having, you know, staying true to myself, and that's a protected time that only I get access to, mm-hmm. and burp because even I'm just in my yoga room. not losing your identity in what you do
in
your business.
Yeah, that's so important. So you're very intentional about the time that you take off from work and social media and using that as an opportunity to restore your energy levels. So what are some of the activities that you do to fill up your cup?
Pretty much yoga, I'd say. Mm-hmm. But when I say yoga, I don't mean just being on the mat all the time. It will be, I always have, say, like on Sunday when I'm off work, that Sunday is my day when I'm completely off work. I work every other day. But on a Sunday, it is then completely off work. And I always like just to have a day where I don't plan in. So my Sunday has nothing planned in, but I like that time just to be free, to go with the flow, whatever it is I need. So yeah, really, it's just slow living, which is what I'm trying to work on doing more, not over planning, doing things, going with the flow of things. But normally it's a lot to do around, say, still to do with yoga and stuff. So if I am going out and doing something, I love to go to like a yoga class with my friends or a yoga event with my friends. Yeah, that kind of thing I'd say. But I try to add in the things like hobbies and things into daily life as well, not just saving it for the days that I'm off. So like, I love reading, so I read every day. I love playing music, so I play music every day. I love doing my own yoga practice. I practice yoga every day. So I try to incorporate those things into daily life as well. But normally, like, when I'm off work, and I love, like, watching things on Netflix and absolutely all those things. But
yeah, that's refreshing to hear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, like, yeah, absolutely. And you know, like, I'm on at the weekend, on a Sunday, sorry, I'm very slow getting ready. Mm. Normally, I'm up ready early, morning routine's done. On a Sunday, it's not like that. Mm-hmm. It could be my dressing gown all day.
Yeah, that's nice though, yeah, to have that day that's just protected for you, whatever you want, feel like doing, and just going with that. Because I think we have a tendency to cram all weekends full of plans, and you know, although they might be enjoyable, I don't know about everyone else, but if I have that every weekend, it has an effect, and I don't always come back to work feeling ready to go on a Monday morning.
I need that time. Like, my Sunday is a really sacred day, and even if, say, someone's like, "Oh, am I free on a Sunday?" That's not my available time. I might be free, there's nothing planned in, but I'm not available then. So even if I'm getting trying to get better at being like, whereas like before I would have been like, "Oh, I am free then, so I can do something." Whereas now I'm like, "I'm free, but I'm not available."
Yeah.
So I can't do something on that day, but what about doing something on a different day? And most people are like, "Oh yeah, that's fine." Mm-hmm. And that is protecting my energy, because I'm recognizing now my life as I'm going along my journey is full of all things that do light me up. And I've spent like a lot of work getting rid of the things that don't, you know, all those things you think you have to do and actually don't light us up or bring us any joy. It's always going to be things that we have to do we don't want to do. I know that. But even when I do something that I love doing, I still see it as that's my energy that's been given out. So even like, you know, socializing with, you know, my friends and things and loved ones, I still need that time, that grounding time, being at home. I love being at home and I need that. And I think more like this over this last, 2 years now, has taught me that needing time to recharge after doing something. So it is just that slow living is really important to me to recharge my energy. I'm really looking forward to this Sunday because I didn't get to have it the last two Sundays and I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
And it affects every part of my life because I've not had that time to slow down. Mm-hmm. So I'd say that's one of my things, slowing down.
Amazing. It kind of feeds into what we were talking about before we started recording as well, how we can be people pleasers and say yes to everything to make other people happy. But yeah, you have to stop and think, is that going to make me happy? Or is, you know, staying at home and watching Netflix, is that going to, you know, is that what I need right now, rather than going out for lunch or going shopping or whatever it might be?
Yeah, definitely. And we spoke a bit about that, didn't we, about how obviously the change in these last 2 years and actually growing with your business and regularly checking in with how you feel and adapting it. Like, if it doesn't serve you, it's not in alignment with who you are anymore, then make a change. That's the whole reason why we're doing this, isn't it? That we work for ourselves. And I think we forget that along the way. And that people pleasing, I don't know, who are we pleasing actually? Because we think we're pleasing somebody, these imaginary people in our head. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, listen to the people who are our soul clients. And again, I think we attract the right people. When we follow our aligned and authentic selves, then those people come in. Mm-hmm. We mentioned before, weren't we, that I used to do at the studio 2 6:30 classes in the morning. Loved doing them at the time. And then COVID happened. I've really worked on my morning routine and love my morning routine. Like, that's where I get most energy from, ready to then share and to share through my teachings. So I don't do that anymore. But it was that whole, like, yeah, that people pleasing at that time. And if COVID hadn't have happened, I would still be doing the 6:30s.
Yeah. That's so interesting, because it is just that should mentality, isn't it? You know, as a yoga teacher, I should be up early and I should be wanting to have a class. And it's actually stepping away from the shoulds and thinking, how do I want to run my business? And so many of us want to be our own bosses, for the freedom and the flexibility to decide, you know, what we want from life. But like you said, I think so many people forget that along the way and just fall into either what's easy or pleasing other people, or, you know, what they're used to. Yeah, it's just being really conscious of that and remembering why you wanted to.
Why do it in the first place? And I think for me, it is that time. And I said that time is like one of your most precious resources. And I think this is when you have to be careful that you don't keep saying yes all the time, even though we love what we do, because I don't know, you can end up doing something all the time, can't you? And this is when I'm like, no, I don't do that anymore, but I'm not filling it with more work. It's not work that I'm doing. It's then that's my time to live life and to be. Otherwise, we can end up just filling things in all the time. That's how I used to be at the studio, was just filling in classes after classes.
Yeah.
Rather than being like, oh, no, I've got some time to go and live life, to go and do nice things, things that I want to do.
It's so true. And I always say, as business owners, our to-do list literally never ends. There's always something more we could be doing. Yes. But it's about stopping and thinking, do I need to do that right now? Yeah. Can it wait till tomorrow? Yeah. Can it wait till next week?
Absolutely. Something I've just thought of, one of the questions from earlier was talking about stepping away from your business. So I think one of the big lessons that I learned from with COVID was that at my studio, I never took any time off, because I literally thought, if I'm not there to teach some classes, no one will come anymore. My business will just like not exist if I take a holiday. And then obviously it got shut down.
Yeah.
And it's still there now.
Exactly.
So it's just like trusting, I think, just trusting in the energy that we put in is strong enough to help withstand our business.
Yeah.
It's not going anywhere. So yeah, so a message then to everybody is, so my studio, it took over a year and a half before I could open for classes again, and I'm still teaching classes. So a year and a half off it. So we can have a week off social media or 2 weeks off social media.
Absolutely, yeah. It's that trust that those people who are really invested in you and your business, they're not going to go anywhere just because you're not on social media.
No, absolutely not.
So something that I've kind of noticed is that you're not afraid to show your personality on Instagram, and your blooper videos are my absolute favourite. If you've not seen them, you have to go and watch them. But have you always felt kind of comfortable showing up in this way online? Have you ever felt the pressure to kind of show up in a certain way as a yoga teacher? What's your kind of thoughts on that?
I think there's definitely always been that pressure. But I think the first time I probably made like a blooper, or it was just how much it helped people, because people are like, oh gosh, it's so nice to see that side, or to not take things so seriously. Oh yes, to be normal, to make mistakes, to make failures and things. And I think that's an important part of who we are. Like that was happening when the bloopers, when they happen, are real life. So yeah, just it's more relatable then as well, isn't it? Because if you think, if this is when we have to be careful with, if not our social media feeds can become this like, I say perfect with like quote marks around it, this perfect feed of that representing this perfect life, and life isn't like that. And that's why I always try to be really real, you know, through that, making, through my bloopers when I put them together, and Bert's often obviously involved in lots of them. You know, then I'll with the bloopers from my filming, or it will be that I will be very real and share things through like with my vulnerability through posts, like trying to keep things real when I'm not in the best headspace. You know, I talk of things very much being like high waves and low waves, so I will share when I'm in a low wave. I still put the boundaries around, I won't share what something is that I'm going through, but I'll just share that I'm going through that experience. That does that kind of make sense? Because that helps people. People don't feel so alone.
Yeah.
And that's what I want my social media feed, to help people in their lives, on their journeys. It's not going to help them if it's this perfectly curated feed that isn't relatable. So yeah, with the, but I wouldn't say I've always been like that. That's just something as things have gone on.
Yeah.
Just not taking ourselves so seriously and taking that pressure off ourselves. And life is so much more enjoyable and freeing when we let go of that pressure. And that pressure is just coming from ourselves. It's not coming from anyone else. Just put it on ourselves. So
exactly. Because, you know, as a yoga teacher starting out, maybe you had the perception that, you know, everything has to be zen and, nothing ever goes wrong because you're always, you know, in the good energy and all that kind of stuff. But actually showing that you have, you know, these real life moments. Bert runs in whilst you're recording a podcast, that's fine, and recording a video. Otherwise, everyone's Instagram feeds would just look the same as well. But, you know, you showing your unique personality is what makes you stand out amongst other yoga teachers, and why people choose to practice with you. And I think it takes you being that little bit vulnerable, maybe, and opening up to really connect with your audience. Because I saw that personally, you know, when I decided to share that I was really struggling with working from home, it was something that I was nervous about talking about because I didn't see a lot of people doing it. Yeah. But as soon as I opened up, I ended up chatting to lots of people who felt the same, and suddenly I felt so much less alone. So I think it is in those moments of vulnerability that you are able to make those really valuable connections.
And I think vulnerability is such a strength, and we don't often see it like that, but it really is. And like you say, it's like those strong connections that it creates. And again, being able to help somebody not feel so alone in what they're going through, it doesn't mean that you're going to make it better for them. They don't feel so alone in that, in what it is that they're experiencing. And I think if I'm, you know, yoga's massively transformed my life. And if I'm trying to then help people, you know, can see that this practice of yoga can help transform others, people's lives, it needs, you know, I'm not going to relate to that, are they, if I'm only showing them the good bits or, you know, the highs. And I think, so yeah, I think it is important to show all parts, still have those boundaries around, you know, keep it, like I say, personal. I won't ever go into detail what it is, but yeah, I'll explain that I'm going through a difficult time. And then that then help people. And doesn't that just reflect more of what life is? Life is, has its ups and downs. It's not, we're not happy and positive and cheery all the time. That doesn't exist. And I don't want to contribute to that, which is why I do try and keep things real through bloopers, through the mistakes I make and stuff. And yeah, if people came to a real life class and I got my rights and lefts mixed up, I get my rights and lefts mixed up. So I'm not going to edit that part out of me or anything, or you know, it just is. It's part of being human. So yeah, I think for me, it was like, I didn't want to be part of that whole perfectly created feed or not making a mistake, or like you said, only seeing yoga teachers as them happy, positive all the time. They won't be because no one is. So but I think we have that responsibility of what we want to share, what we want to add to.
Absolutely. And the more people that step into showing that reality and sharing the kind of honest truth of what day-to-day life looks like, you know, the more authentic the space will be as a whole, won't it?
I think that is like that key word there, authenticity is absolutely key, being authentic. I think as well, folks, you know, like when when Reels came out on Instagram, you know, everyone was just doing all this like pointing. It was all the pointing. I thought, that makes me feel really uncomfortable. You know, no hate on anyone who does that. Then if that makes them happy and they want to do that, then go for it. For me, I was like, that is not me. So I didn't do it. Not just for the sake of just doing something because it's online and everyone's doing it.
Yeah.
It's not in alignment with who you are. Don't do it.
Yeah, that's so valuable, isn't it? Just not feeling like you have to be a cog in a machine and do everything. It's kind of taking that control element back, like you spoke about earlier, isn't it? You know, not just feeding into the machine that is Instagram. And yeah, if you don't like doing Reels, don't do them.
Yeah, do something, because what lights you up, you will naturally be good at. So if it is, say, showing up on, I don't know, if you like to create a carousel post, or if you really like to do IGTV lives and things. I think they've even changed now, haven't they? That's what I'm saying. It's always changing. So don't change for it. Do what lights you up, what resonates with you.
Exactly.
Not sacrificing your you-ness just to fit in with something that you don't align with.
Exactly. And I think in terms of, you know, your posts, quite similar to me, like often the captions, they're quite long. They're quite meaty. There's lots of thoughts in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, the people who are really interested and invested will read them. You know, you're not trying to appeal to the people who are looking for the short, sharp, snappy 30-second reel. You know, you want people to really read, kind of reflect and share their honest thoughts in the captions. So you're kind of putting out what you want, the types of people that you want to bring in, aren't you?
Absolutely, yeah. My captions are so long. Instagram will be like, it's too long. I'm like, how rude, Instagram. But yeah, the people then that will read them, I'm so grateful to them, and I will give them my energy back. I'm like, thank you so much for reading my long caption. And this is when I've said before, I can't, if we're talking about, so what I can help people with is, you know, making this deep soul level transformation. I can't do it in 30 second reel or a 10 second story. I just can't do that. So, you know, and I will share that across, you know, when people wanting quick fixes, I can't, it's not a quick fix that I can offer. That's not a service I offer. People will offer it, but it never works. And people are just taking advantage of people, aren't they? So yeah, that's, I tried to stay then true to myself in that sense. And I will keep writing my long captions, even though probably my posts would perform better if they weren't so long, but I'm not sacrificing my voice and what I want to share for the sake of just fitting in with an algorithm or
Yeah, I think that's so valuable. And knowing that what you're sharing is more valuable than the number of likes or comments that you receive, you know, being comfortable in that. Amazing. So to start wrapping up, the question that I ask all of my guests, if location wasn't a factor, which three fellow business owners would you like to be in your co-working club?
So we spoke about this before and I said that I find it very difficult just to name just a few people because I would never want anyone to feel left out. So I decided to just focus on three of the most recent businesses that have just been set up. And I think that is incredibly inspiring for anyone to start their own business. And they have brought so much inspiration into my life just from them doing that. And some of the conversations that I've had around it really inspired me. So I'm going to share these three. So the first one is by my very, very dear friend, Annette. And she started up her own yoga business, which is Imago Day Wellbeing and Yoga on Instagram. So she's definitely somebody that I would like to be a part of. To be a part with it. And then The Sparrow's Nest, and that's by Christy, and she has just set up doing like home, she's making homemade creations, things like trinket trays, she's been doing incense holders and things. So just making, she's been making things, it's a new passion that she's come up with. And she's also a mindful coach, but she's already been doing that already, but this is like another thing that she's branched off. I think that's really inspiring that she's following her authenticity and alignment doing that. And then the third one is Abigail, and she has just created, opened up a new space in Newark called Tree, which is a well-being space. And yeah, all three absolutely incredible, inspiring souls that then, yes,
amazing.
Have to be part of the co-working.
Yeah, I'll have to go and check them out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So to end on, do you just want to let listeners know where they can find you online?
So you can pretty much find me on most platforms just by searching Caroline Inspired. So Caroline Inspired on Instagram, Caroline Inspired on YouTube. I am on Facebook, but I don't actively use it. So the page is there, but I don't reply to anything on there. That was a big boundary that I put in place, actually. I don't like the platform of Facebook. So I was like, I'm not going to keep wasting my energy there. But yeah, there is a Facebook page. And then my website is carolineinspired.co.uk. So you can find me there. My studio is, if you're local or if you ever want a road trip, is in Hutnall in Nottingham. That's the Inspired Studio. Again, you can find out all information from that from my Instagram or from my website. And my online yoga membership is also via website.
Amazing. Well, I'll be sure to leave all the links in the show notes, but thank you so much for having me today to have a chat. It's been such an interesting one.
Thank you so much for having me. I've absolutely loved it, and thank you, so inspiring as well, so thank you.
Thank you. If you enjoy this podcast, please do subscribe so you keep up to date with all of future episodes. And if you could possibly leave a review, it would really help us in this early stage of launching the podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you back here next Monday.